You have more influence than you think, Chapter 3, just because you asked. After asking thousands of people for all sorts of different requests, studies show that people are twice as likely to agree than the asker expects. Repeatedly, in many different types of studies, people think they're going to have to ask twice as many people to do the things to do the amount of things they need to get done. People anticipate more rejection than they actually end up experiencing, and getting people to comply with our requests is easier than we think. When there are real stakes involved, there's an undue pessimism about our ability to get other people to do things, and it's very hard to shake. So it's in those moments when you feel like asking is the worst part, it's worthwhile to remember that you're probably better at getting people to do things for you than you realize. Many times we have the impulse to offer something like money in exchange for someone's compliance, but studies show that that actually has very little effect on the person being asked. Paying people for things does have a positive effect, but only on the person who's asking. When you offer money, it's suddenly more transactional, and potentially you won't feel as rejected when people say no. So offering money doesn't make us more effective at asking, it just makes us more confident. Because we fail to recognize our influence, we resort to unnecessary tactics in order to wield it, like arguing more assertively than necessary, as we already saw in the last chapter, or offering money. Overall, we seem to discount subtler and more effective means of influence in favor of assertiveness and incentives. Just as increasing the amount of money doesn't increase compliance as much as people think it will, increasing the size of the request doesn't decrease compliance as much as people think it will. There are lots of reasons that the askers tend to overlook when we're the one asking for something. People agree to do things because they feel guilty or uncomfortable saying no, because they want to feel like good people, and because they want to look like good people, and because it pains them to see someone else suffer, or out of genuine empathy or desire to do something good. But when we're the asker, we tend to just assume that people agree to do things for tangible incentives. And so under incorrect assumptions, we offer money. And the same is true for the size of what we're requesting. The bigger the ask, the bigger the need, and the bigger the corresponding guilt of saying no, the bigger the opportunity to look and feel like a good person, and the bigger opportunity to make a real difference. All those reasons to say yes, we seem to discount. We tend to be surprised by people's willingness to agree to large requests because we tend to underestimate just how much people are willing to give to others. And as the size of the requests increase, the context tends to change in other ways. In other words, somebody becomes a target for a certain request after learning things about their values and their ideas and interests. College deans who are in charge of fundraising are routinely surprised by how much donors are genuinely willing to give, and sometimes even offer more than the ask. So in the end, people are much more likely to agree to do things for us for free than we think. People will do more for us than anticipated, and this is true of small requests as well as large requests.